Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 30th of November, recording at 8:09 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week, and what a week it's been. First, stock markets, which have been on the rack for much of the month, staged some, for the most part, interesting rallies marked by upward dynamics. The rally in the long-dated government bond prices, and understandably stalled against that background of stronger stock markets. And the U.S. dollar has enjoyed an oversold rally after a very persistent short-term downward trend, which has now been broken. This is, of course, all within the longer-term downward trend. Precious metals have fallen back on that action, but interestingly, industrial metals have mostly rallied. An exception is nickel, although it's a little steadier in here today. And the crude oil price has also weakened back underneath the $90 level, currently down $2.50 at $88.50 as I speak. And the grain and bean complex, today soybeans look like they're down. The corn is about unchanged to a fraction higher, wheat down very slightly, but they have been reasonably steady in here this week. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of the long-term picture, big long-term picture? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I would really summarize the month of November as Bernanke's misfortune. And his misfortune in the sense that I think that the Fed was way overconfident in their comments following the October rate cut. Remember, we had that 25 basis point rate cut, and then they said that the risks were about balanced, and there was that little bit of maybe I will, maybe I won't commentary regarding interest rates going forward. And that unnerved a market that it had a relief rally helped by short covering and had actually seen the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ indices all push up into new high ground. Well, the realization or the fear that we might not see any further rate cuts from the Fed really did deal a body blow to stock market sentiment, which was pretty fragile anyway, because we were getting all that news of continued write-downs by the banking sector. So that just led to a very rapid decline, as you know. And then it was up to, I think, Don Cohen of the Fed, Bernanke's deputy, but a much more experienced central banker. We have to remember that Bernanke's, although a distinguished academic, is an on-the-job trainee as far as being a central banker is concerned. And Alan Greenspan had a little bit of a trial by fire with the 87 crash. And Bernanke, when he took over, and we have Bernanke having to deal with this credit crisis of confidence in the United States. But at any rate, so Cohen came out and then shifted the emphasis, saying that, indicating strongly that there would be interest rate cuts, and then Bernanke followed that up last night with a similar comment. And that led to a big rally by the Dow today, and certainly helped a big rally to take place among the European stock markets. But Wall Street's not been able to hold that rally, or at least not as I speak. It's lost those gains and moved slightly into the minus column, but mind you, we've still got an hour and f no, we've still got 45 minutes to go here in today's trading. Okay, my feeling, as I've said all along, is that the Fed, also the Bank of England, are behind the curve of events, but it's the Fed being behind the curve of events, which has global implications far more so than what the Bank of England is doing, which, although that obviously impacts on the outlook for the UK economy. Now, my own feeling is that rather than talking about rate cuts, that the Fed ought to be moving and cutting rates now, and I think it ought to be cutting by 50 basis points. I think there's a little bit of a gamble in here that the markets could lose their nerve, although they've had pretty good upward dynamics recently, including weekly keys on Wall Street for the Dow and the S&P, assuming we don't get the market slumping over the next 45 minutes. You know, anything can happen here in this environment, but hopefully not. So I maintain that they are behind the curve, and I don't think that a 25 basis point rate cut would really enable the Fed to catch up, and I don't think that that would write a metaphorical line underneath the U.S. economy, ensuring that it did not slip into recession. My hunch all along is that the U.S. would just squeak by, avoiding a recession, on the basis that the Fed would be doing the right thing. Well, it sort of is, but not fast enough. And particularly on the basis that the dollar was soft and that the global economy was really quite strong, and therefore that would help to cushion downside for the U.S. economy, which is obviously a slow growth situation. Well, in all probability, the Fed isn't going to do anything until the second week in December, when we'll see whether we get that 25 basis point rate cut or a 50 basis point cut. Now, I also feel that I feel that the Fed may be influenced by the stock market if the stock market does continue to rally. They definitely will be influenced by the stock market if Wall Street relooks at its recent lows. For instance, the statement that Bernanke came out with today was really quite revealing. I'll just read it to you very quickly because it's just one short paragraph. The outlook has been, quote, importantly affected over the past month by renewed turbulence in financial markets, unquote. Now, that's the big statement, and in my riposte here in Comment of the Day, I've said to paraphrase Oscar Wilde's quote from The Importance of Being Earnest, "To lose one market, Mr. Bernanke, may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both looks like carelessness." And of course, we have the weak housing market, and to have a weak stock market on top of that would really be serious. And while people have worried and estimated and fretted over the size of the write-downs from the banking sector, current and forthcoming, that is small potatoes compared to the write-down in the value of the U.S. stock market that has occurred since the Fed's balanced risks comment back in October. So a blunder, and also behind the curve in here, and that's the risk going forward here for global stock markets. But you see what happens once investors globally get a hint that the Fed is not equivocating and worrying about inflation that it can't control, mainly coming from energy prices and food prices. There certainly isn't any more inflationary pressure from housing prices in the US, and there isn't any wage pressure, and there's unlikely to be for a good many months. Probably won't be any of that until we get the U.S. economy on a stronger footing, whenever that is. So, as soon as investors globally see that the Fed is recognizing the problems that the U.S. economy faces and is prepared to do something about it in terms of rate cuts, again, I've emphasized over and over again that the Fed needs to get these short-term rates down so that it is easier to recapitalize the banking sector through the yield curve. If that troubles some listeners, well, that's what they've always done following banking crises, and it would not do anyone any favors to have a very substantial, sustained deterioration in the banking sector. I've always maintained that what's good for the banks is good for the rest of the economy. And somebody who had short positions might disagree, and I agree that you would do okay on your shorts if the Fed completely bungled the reflation efforts, but you wouldn't like most of the other consequences that emanated. And socially, I think it would be a travesty. But moving on in here. We have seen the best rebounds in fuller money themes. They've certainly been to the fore. And for instance, the resources shares. We had Vedanta, which is in my portfolio, although it's not one of my top 10 positions. I'd added it not that long ago. The Indian mining company hit a new high here today. And on an intraday basis, Rio is right up there near its highs. MLW is very firm. India and the markets that are supposed to be volatile have regained over half of their small downward reaction. And therefore, again, if we get Wall Street holding these recent lows, and as Owen had said a few days ago, give the benefit of the doubt to that chart action. We had those ups. We have those upside weekly keys. That looks really like a tradable signal, a buy signal. And our view on that is that we have seen lows of at least near-term significance, and the current outlook is for sideways to higher trading. In these stock markets. Now, I've also put a lot out on high yield, or I've talked about high yield a fair amount, and then we had that superb item produced by Ian Little and principally by his colleague at Butterfield, indicating or revealing a lot of interesting high yielding situations. I think those sectors look interesting here as well. But the important thing, as I say again, is that given the Wall Street leash effect, is that we do really need to get further signals in here from the Fed, matched by some significant additional interest rate cuts. No more talk about balanced risks. And then I think, against that background, that December could be as good as November has been bad for global stock markets. And I think it would dispel talks, or talk rather, of a global bear market. Meanwhile, in terms of the longer term opportunities, my big favorites remain Chindia at the top of the Asian emerging market list. And I also like the resources sectors a great deal. That's everything from developed economies such as Australia to Brazil, top of the developing country resources producers. And Brazil has given up very, very little during this big selling squall that we've seen in November. So these are the really top themes, I think, going forward, and will remain so. But Some of the more recent fuller money themes, technology looks interesting, and I actually favor the US technology because the weak dollar helps consolidated earnings, and the US still has a good strong lead in the information sector overall. And I like high yielders for a recovery because the stock market sell-off has created some real value there. And yes, global economic growth is slowing down, but what's that doing? That's lengthening the cycle overall. And provided we get more positive announcements from the Fed, that a lot of these patterns, which look toppy in the European stock markets and the US stock markets and some other stock markets around the world, a lot of those patterns will just prove to be long-ranging phases prior to renewed strength. My view on this all along has been that the credit crisis, which is now mostly a crisis of confidence since central banks have pumped in plenty of liquidity, but my view is that this has slowed the cycle, lengthened the cycle. In other words, it enabled a very sharp rally to occur in global bond markets, and that is important, indicating that a lot of investors have become much more concerned about slowing GDP growth, which is will be addressed by lower interest rates and not just by the Fed. And it indicates, of course, also that they are much less concerned about inflation, although I suspect there will be plenty of energy inflation and food inflation for quite some time due to global demand and some supply inelasticity. So this is to say has slowed the cycle and lengthened the cycle, and I don't think that bond markets will. Well, I've said all along that when stock markets started to strengthen, we would see bond markets weaken again, and we've seen that this week, in that we've had a small reaction in the global bond prices, which have certainly lost upward momentum, and they're up near some previous resistance in most instances, if you look at those charts. But it's really when bond yields next break above the highs that we have seen earlier this year. When I'll say that again, when long-dated government bond yields break above their highs that we saw earlier this year, that's when I think the risk of a global bear market in equities will be much stronger than it is today. Although it must be said that a whole lot of investors fear that we're either in a global bear market or on the brink of one, and my feeling is that that certainly should not be the case. It would only be the case if the Fed blundered. How big a blunder would it actually take to cause that bear market? Well, let's say they raised interest rates rather than cut them. Well, that action's conceivable in here right now. Okay, moving on. In terms of the dollar rally and gold's, well, let's talk about that dollar rally a little bit more. We certainly have seen a steepening decline in the US dollar index, and therefore steepening upward trends for the euro, sterling, Australian dollar, Canadian dollar, and so on. Now, that's all been checked, and that's good news in terms of the overall outlook for equity markets, because one of my big concerns was that the dollar would go into an accelerating decline. Well, we saw a moderate acceleration, and that certainly coincided with some weakness in stock markets, although in fairness, I think most of that weakness was related to the credit crisis overall. But the credit crisis helped to cause the US dollar to steepen, so it didn't it obviously didn't help. What now looks to me is if the US dollar is moving into a sort of a ranging medium-term rally that ought to last at least a few weeks and possibly a few months, and that's good because a quieter dollar that is not in free fall, that enables the dollar to move off the front page of financial press sections and off the cover of financial magazines and become a mid-page or back-page story in financial publications. That would be good in terms of overall confidence regarding global stock markets. It would take away a major concern, in other words. And I do think we get that respite for at least a few weeks and quite possibly a few months. Now that's led to some selling pressure in here in the precious metals. I don't think that's going to last very long overall. I think there's a little bit of switching going on back with some money moving back into industrial metals, which really have firmed up here, and some of them are very, very depressed. Copper, zinc, these are good recovery candidates from these levels. And I think that we will see some more aggressive demand coming from China. I think it's probably beginning, but the main buying season for China usually comes after the Chinese New Year. But honestly, given the prices that we see today and given the strength of their economy, I don't think they would. Well, I'd be surprised if they waited much longer. I suspect they're probably coming in to buy now. And I look for some significant recoveries in these, particularly in these depressed metal prices. The most depressed ones recently, zinc would head the list. Copper, well, no, nickel after after zinc, and then copper. Now, and I look for continued global demand to fuel that rally. And that won't do any harm for our mining shares. And that is such an attractive group. I think we'll see further consolidations within the sector. Any of these medium to top tier global mining companies, industrial metal mining companies, I think really ought to be in every investor's portfolio, and we don't, and one really ought to be holding on to those. They're collector's items, treasure troves, as I've described them previously, of industrial resources, and they're certainly not on fancy valuations, although some of the gold shares are on fancy valuations, but are probably worth holding in here in terms of the additional medium to longer term upside potential. And what else to mention here? The agricultural commodities. Again, this is a supply and elasticity meets rising demand situation. From what I've heard, we're going to see some disappointing in terms of people who are hoping to see some cessation in the tightness for food supplies. I think for what I've heard is that the USDA, which has been quite optimistic on its crop forecasts, as we get into January, all the news will be known, and I've been told some people who follow this quite closely that we'll actually see lower reserves, grain reserves, for instance, than most forecasters are currently expecting. Certainly, looking at the chart patterns for these soft commodities, and they're not just foods, cotton, for example, looks pretty impressive. Lumber's a recovery candidate. I do think that resources inflation is going to be a theme that's going to stay with us on and off for decades. So that continues to look like an interesting area for investors. What about crude oil? Last but not least, well, it had run up awfully sharply on that move, nearly to $100. Everybody was talking about $100, and I just think it looked it's overcooked. So I think we're now in a medium-term corrective phase, probably get a relatively shallow reaction this time around. Remember last year when oil peaked, it had a major fall. I'd be surprised if it came down anywhere near that far this time around. But I suspect that, as I say, that crude oil has peaked for at least the short term. Well, that's it for another exciting week. Too exciting as far as I'm concerned. So I'm looking forward to a relaxing family weekend and many cultural events as well, and I hope you're doing something that's at least as interesting as far as you're concerned. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.